The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Man in Line is open line today through till 1 o'clock, so whatever's on your mind today, by all means do get in touch. Call 66 13 68, text and WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com. Could be that £15.3 million for Department of Health and Social Care. Could be the big story about restoring the Isle of Man's footpaths to good order, according to this new report. It's a working group on footpaths, bridleways and green lanes saying that £1.5 million a year is what they need to tackle the issue. If you're a walker, or maybe you'd like to be, you just can't get down the footpath, I'd like to hear from you on that or anything else. And let's get to the phones. Michael's on first with us today. Hi, Michael.
Yeah, hello. I'm just bringing up about it's to do with the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture, and it has a law called the Tree Preservation Act 1993.
Yeah.
If a tree is damaging a property, whether it's a frontage or anything else, you have to appeal to DEFA for them to consider giving a felling license for a tree to be felled. My case is, I've got... I'm sorry to tell the listeners this, but I mean, I've got cancer. I've been ill for a long time. But DEFA were not taking my word for anything that I said. So what I did was, with a chemotherapy bottle attached to my body, I went outside and I got help lifting up around about 130 or 140 odd slabs. I was left to dig the earth down about a meter below ground, to which I found the roots of this monkey puzzle tree that DEFA are forcing me to keep was cutting through the electricity supply cables. They would not help me, not even once. I had all I had was my bare hands, a metal bar, and a trowel, and I kept digging and found that these roots were actually cutting through the mains electricity supply cable. I was forced on my own to try to push out huge rocks. The pressure from the roots was immense. It could have cut the supply to this house. It could have fused the substation in this area, blanking out power everywhere. They were still not interested. The Manx Utilities Authority came down, saw it, and they were very good because they tried to help by sort of diverting the cables away. But my house is like a bomb site. I'm in and out of hospital on cancer treatment, and it is hard on my own trying to do all this. DEFA, I had to go to one of its appeals, and this was 2 months later. September 2024 was when I dug the earth to expose this. In October 2024, I went to its appeal. I had loads of photographs of the roots damaging the cables. It split my drive. It's done quite a bit of damage around the front. And it was ridiculous because the appeal system expected me with cancer to sit there presenting my case. And its head forester just sat there going, the tree is a great asset to the village. The tree has a high amenity value. The tree is healthy. And I said, yes, I agree. But I said, it's also damaging my property. I also said that the insurance company will not pay out for tree root damage, leaving me on my own on income support. I can't deal with this. And anyway, they selected their own adjudicator. And 1 month later, a letter was put through my letterbox in November 2024, telling me I had to keep the tree. I'd been writing about this tree. I'm not making this up since the year of 2007, all the way through the through time. Now, in 2012, I was becoming more ill with cancer, but in 2007, my father, who was elderly, type 2 diabetes, dying in this house from cerebral atrophy, which is a brain disease, they still forced us to keep this tree. He tripped over the slabs that were lifting by the roots, but since then, of course, it's got a hell of a lot worse. He sat in this house with bruises all up and down his legs. He couldn't, you know, like that type of disease means that he was basically out of it and wasn't aware of the injuries anyway.
Michael, what do you want them to do?
What do I want them to do? Well, yeah. They haven't actually offered any help. They, at the appeal anyway, they've ignored all the evidence that are put to it and still forcing me to keep this tree. But in April 2025, I went down to Defa to ask them this question, which is important. I said, has this tree reached maturity? Is it not going to cause any more damage? And the response floored me. They said, oh, no. Well, they asked me how old the house was, and I said, it was built 1837. They said, oh, that tree is 100 years old. No, it's got plenty more growing to do. Now, this tree needs an area which is like around about a radius of 10 metres. I don't have 10 metres of frontage. It's about 6 metres from the front door, about 5, I think, from the road, 30 centimetres from the neighbours, and 5 metres from the other neighbours. And it's like that. There isn't the room to sustain it. And the drive is split, and under that drive is my water main. I don't know what it's doing to that. But DEFA have... they're just throwing their weight around with an out-of-date law. This law should be amended that all properties where they've got a tree or two trees too close to a house, they should be cut down, and DEFA should then say, you can replace that tree with a tree that is suitable for the area in which it can be sustained. I've written this for about 2.5 years now, and DEFA have just ignored it. It's Minister Claire Barber ignores every email I send.
What your MHK had to say, Michael?
My MHK won't do anything. They've been down, but they just make promises. I'll go down and see DEFA. It never happens. I've had this for about maybe 2.5-3 years. I'm still in the same boat. The difference is that the cancer has got worse in me, according to my last phone call from the consultant in Liverpool. I've written up to them and told them this, that all I need is some help with these roots. The only way that I can get out of this is the tree must stay, I come second, and therefore I am faced with one choice, and that's to move. And I can't move unless this place at least looks presentable. Maybe some other family can take it over, maybe they can deal with it, but myself on my own, I can't. I don't know what my future entails, but anyway, because of my persistence, I've always been polite, but like because of my persistence going to see DEFA and sending so many emails, I put my computer on every day. Some of the emails are about very long, I'll admit. I spent 5 and 6 hours sometimes writing them to find a wall of silence, and the wall of silence goes on and on and on to the point where it nearly breaks me. But they still don't care. They still won't help. And then they send a threatening letter to me saying that I can't visit DEFA anymore, that they're concerned about their staff's safety, well-being, and something like that. Now, that's absolute rubbish, because never once have I been impolite when I've attended. And I put in the letter to the reply to that. I said, what about my health, safety and well-being? Number one, I have cancer. Number two, I live alone. Number three, I was nearly exposed to being electrocuted from exposing these cables being crushed by the trees. Again, there's no answer to that. They're not. That letter is an absolute farce. It's something that if a person persists in contacting them, they can send a letter like that out, because it's a government department, but a person on their own, like me, has got no rights.
Do you think that they think you're a bit of a nuisance, Michael?
Well, I don't. I'm trying to... This tree is causing damage, and I have every right to try and defend my home. There's nobody else here to do it for me. I've produced evidence, and it was just ignored at the hearing. And it's like an appeal system that you go to, and they selected their own adjudicator, who obviously took the side of DEFA, and they forced the person to keep the tree. It's caused me so much misery that I even attempted to commit suicide. I'm ashamed to say that. And also like self-harm. And then I realised, what am I doing? Because if, for example, I'm on chemotherapy, if I ended up, say, attempting to commit suicide, it was standing in front of a road to get run over. That's horrible what I'm saying. But if that had happened and I ended up paralysed in that hospital bed, still on chemotherapy, they wouldn't have cared less. And they're trying, these people are doing their best to try to make me well. And I thought, I'm just so selfish and arrogant and idiotic. But even to this day, they still ignore me.
Okay. Well, Michael, first of all...
And this is why I'm ringing up, because I need to find out, are there any other people affected by it? Because when they force people to keep trees, it's... The person is not insured for a start if the roots damage the property, whether it's a drive or even the foundations of the house or anything drastic like that. They are not insured. They might have been in 1993 when the Act was written, but they're not now because I've checked it out.
Okay. Michael, first of all, look, you're not selfish, you're not arrogant, and you're not a nuisance, and your life your life is priceless, okay? So you must always attempt, you must always... I know it's very difficult, and it's easy for me to say everything's going to be okay, but everybody's heard your story now, and we'll wait to see what happens. And do stay in touch with us, Michael, and we wish you all the best, and certainly as far as your health concerned.
There is just one thing, that Jason Morehouse was a good help. He's a good MHK. He asked in Tynwald to the Minister, Claire Barber, would she have the Act amended in the way that I was suggesting, like a tree could be planted in place of the original or something like that. And she turned round in Tynwald and said, not until after the next election.
Oh, okay.
Now, the next election, I think, is in 2016, September.
2016, it's a year, in just over a year's time.
Yeah, and that's not a guarantee. It doesn't say, yes, sure, I'm going to amend that as soon as I get back in, if she gets back in, I don't know. It's not a guarantee. When September 2016 comes along, I don't even know if I'm going to be here or not. Okay. But what actually concerns me is that just how many other people on the Isle of Man are forced with this out-of-date law to keep trees that are too close to their homes.
Well, Michael, I want to thank you for bringing this up. And we've had reaction already from some people talking about trees. So, number one... Everybody's thinking about you. You're not a nuisance. You're not arrogant. You're not being selfish. You're looking after your own interests, and everybody's entitled to do that. Stay in touch, Michael. Okay. Thanks for calling today. If you have anything you'd like to add to that, to Michael's story, how he can get some help, how... If perhaps you've been through that situation yourself and resolved it, what did you do? How do you do it? Everybody loves trees. We all love trees. But trees can often be a nuisance, a real nuisance, a perpetual nuisance. And they keep on growing. And perhaps it wasn't planned 100 years ago that they were going to be this big. If you've got any thoughts on it, please do get in touch. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy, on that, and I sympathise with the guy, but you have to persevere and get others involved and maybe spread the load a little bit. But it is difficult. Trees are valued because they grow for 60, 80 years, and when you do see some of the nice trees that get chopped down, and always remember the one in the UK that was in that ravine, remember?
Yeah.
It was only a sycamore. By God, it was an attraction. And
I think those two are getting sentenced today, the people who cut it down.
Are they? Well, good on that. But I wanted to thank DEFA, really, and the Pest Control Service. Now, at the weekend, we looked in the garden there, and on our plum tree, there's a wasp's nest, and they didn't know. I was worried about it, really, on that. So I rang them over the weekend. And today, and I don't know the guy's name, but what a nice guy he was, came in, Mr. Quirk, we'll sort this out. So I want to thank the individual who came in his white van, and if I knew his name, I probably wouldn't tell you anyway, but he'll know who he is, because I said to him to listen in, because I'll praise him today. And it just reminded me, just before I was talking there, about this is the time of the year I come out of the Cushings, isn't it? Growing all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
On the highway, byways, and land that government own. I believe in Manx Radio too. You've got a Scotch field to pull
I think
them,
we're wilding up here, apparently. This is a new trendy thing on Douglas Head. We're wilding. We're also saving money on people cutting the grass, but we're wilding.
Yeah. But listen, who's your landlord? At the end of the day, it's not Manx Radio, is it? You'll have a landlord there. And wouldn't it... Because I remember they wrote to us as Onken Football Club years ago from there and said, quoted some sort of act that you had to cut down the cushions before a certain date because they are poisonous, you know, not to animals and stuff like that. And if it gets in their hay or silage and stuff like that, it can it gives them the gut ache and eventually it'll get to them. But I just wanted to put that out too. And also correct a little thing. We had a commissioners meeting last night, so I'm definitely speaking anytime I come on now. My own individual thing as an elected member for Onken. Because some people got on to me this morning and I was at one of the clubs and I thought I'd resign from the commissioners. I haven't. I've had a disagreement with the current chairman anyway over his media policy, which I'll give it to you, Andy, sometime and have a look at it. Where I think... As individual elected members, whether in government or in a local authority, you act on behalf of the constituency people. And I'm not going to have pressure put on me to conform to certain things which I don't think are right. So I just wanted to correct that. And I've come off the environment one and also the CA site.
And also, that you've not been replaced, have you? They've not. Nobody wanted to take over those positions.
And it's not an onerous task as such, but it is something, and I'm glad we've got a new commissioner in Ops. The problem was he wasn't, he booked a holiday or something like that, so he wasn't there last night. So hopefully when they come back, and the other thing is to just to remind people that we don't get paid for everything. We get about £8 a meeting, and £8 doesn't even pay your internet service or your telephone bill. So that needs to be corrected as we come towards, I think it's the end of December, where the Defra Minister can actually increase the allowances towards local authority members. I mean, it doesn't cost us. I mean, if I did the maximum number, it would probably charge to the ratepayer £400. And I'm sure I do more than £400 worth of work, hopefully, out there. So I don't want people to panic. You can ring me on the phone. You can still use that email address there, and I'll pick them up. And if you've got a problem, I'm here to help. And Andy, I'll get you the meeting thing and let you have a look at it.
Thanks, David. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
All right, 24 minutes past 12. Vivian with us now. Hello, Vivian.
Hello. First of all, I think it is disgusting that the government have got to find $15 million for the health services. Is there no restriction on the amount of money that team can spend? Because where do they find it? I thought we were broke.
Well, we're not broke. We just haven't got spare stuff down the back of the settee, Vivian.
Exactly. But how then are we expected to pay this amount of money? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, well, that's easy, Vivian. They charge us. We have to pay it.
I know that, but it's a case of, if they were doing a wonderful job, I would say carry on. But Chris asked me why I objected to them, and I said, I spent an evening, about 3 weeks ago, with my son. I was sent up for blood test in the afternoon. Fine, we went up, and then we were told to go and sit in the waiting room at 5:30, and we got out of there at 10 o'clock turned at night after my son had been to ask why were we still waiting. It turned out we shouldn't have even been there.
Well, that's not satisfactory, is it?
No, it's lack of communication. There was people sitting around that waiting room that were there when we got there at 5:30 and they were still there when we left. And I think it's absolutely appalling.
Okay. All right. Vivian, we appreciate it. I'm sure lots of people have got your view as well. Thanks.
Oh, I know they can agree with me, but I'm just saying I think it's absolutely appalling, the treatment that we are getting.
Okay. Vivian, thanks for that today. This is the story about Timbrell's approving £15.3 million for DHSC, Department of Health and Social Care, covering an overspend in the 2024-25 financial year. But there was a lot of criticism in Timbald about this.
Health Minister Claire Christian told members that the additional funding was required due to increased employee costs, off-island care, the development of new services, contract spending and rising drug expenditure.
Within the 2024-25 financial year, Manx Care's cost improvement programme achieved £13.4 million of savings in total. These savings were realised through various projects, including reductions in bank and agency spending, medicines optimisation, workforce management, and increased commercial income.
The request for extra funding drew criticism from several members of Timbald.
We must also consider how the Department of Health and Social Care can support Manx Care in the future while holding them fully accountable for what may be perceived as significant weaknesses in financial stability, performance, and governance. For these reasons, I cannot support the supplementary vote without a comprehensive review of structure and the setup of both Manx Care and the Department of Health and Social Care.
MLC Kirsty Morfitt also said she would not support the motion, expressing concern about the lack of evidence that such requests would not continue on an annual basis. Treasury Minister Dr. Alex Owenson said that similar concerns had been raised for decades and reminded members that the Sir Jonathan Michael report had been commissioned to help determine what healthcare the island could afford. In her closing remarks, Health Minister Claire Christian acknowledged the concerns raised and said there appeared to be a lack of confidence. She encouraged members to focus on solutions and said collaboration would be key to ensuring further requests for funding were not required in future. Timbald voted to approve the funding request with support from both branches.
Any thoughts on this? I don't know whether you heard the Timbald coverage on Manx Radio yesterday on AM 1368, but that particular part of Timbald was fascinating. And everybody's just saying what Dr. Allington said. This has been going on for years, even before Manx Care was created. So how do we do this? How do we get to it? What do we say? Oh, a note in from 762, by the way. The man from Pest Control is Martin. Top bloke, very good on wasp nests, and a true credit to DEFA. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Yeah, just the same with the request there for the $15 million, whatever it is. What happened to the money that we've already paid in, the 2% on top of our income tax? That was going to be ring-fenced for the hospital, supposedly. Nobody's given any answers on that at all. But what a sad story with Michael in Onken. Well, I'm assuming it's Onken, the chap with the monkey puzzle tree.
Yeah.
But they're coming round and they're saying this tree's got to be protected. Yeah, as you know, for 3 years I've been trying to get the trees in Portishee protected.
Yeah.
And every time you ring them up, and the hierarchy within DEFRA, there used to be one chap in there who was very good, but he's retired. They now say it's not part of our remit. We can't tell people what to do. We can do this, we can do that, but we can't do something else. And it seems like they have taken on this particular man because he's an individual. But the trees that I always go on about, the Portishee ones, because that's a company, that's a different ball game. They're going to have to put up a bit of a fight for that. But they can beat this man down because, as I say, he's an individual, he's not a well man, and it's a coward's way out. But the other thing that comes up is the DOI, and that's on your news, and the other news as well, where they're neglecting the footpaths, etc. I went up on Saturday. As you know, I'm at the Obscura, and I was cutting a little bit where I immediately in front of the Obscura. Me as an individual cutting that because the corporation will come up to one point just below the Trafalgar Memorial. And then the other side of that is the DOI. Well, up there, you could have a television programme. I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here, because the bracken and everything is... And one lady said, oh, you've just been cutting the nettles down, have you? This is for people that's walking there with their dogs. The nettles were shoulder height. And there's absolutely nothing done. There was two ladies going to walk down, and every Sunday I see them there, or Saturdays, while swimming down at Portskillion.
Yeah.
Again, the footpath going down there, it's about a foot wide. People, well, they looked at this, oh, we're not going to go there, we'll have to go back down and go the other way. And this is the DOI. They do not care. They're in their own little ivory towers, and they'll never go out to see these places. And now they're talking about, oh, we're going to need this, going to need that. It's been neglect for years in the DOI. And I complained many years ago about down at the airport. Briars there, face level. They weren't cut down for 2 years after that. But now they're tidying up. And it's all, as I say, somebody within an ivory tower thinks they're God's gift, and it's not their job to do it.
The point you make, the point you make is very pertinent. The fact that Michael is one man against a department with a monkey, 100-year-old monkey puzzle tree. That, you know,
I think I know the tree.
I mean, they're pleasant, but they're not world beating, are they? And the fact is, it's fair to say, Howard, you've not shut up about those lime trees for the past 2 years, and long may it continue, because they're iconic trees. And if heaven forbid any one of those got diseased or fell down, then there'd be the fuss of all fusses, wouldn't there?
Yep, and it'd be the people that's sitting in Defra in their little offices, ivory towers, that will be doing and making all the fuss. And those trees, they're not just planted here, there and everywhere. They're planted in a particular straight line. And the programme that I got from a kind gentleman actually numbers the trees, not physically, but numbers the trees as to who planted them and from where. They start at the Quarter Bridge and work them through to Braddon Bridge.
And they're commemorative trees.
They are commemorative trees. And it seems strange, but this is 90 years ago. Well, I suppose it will be, not be far off. But the king that they commemorate in the Jubilee year, he has died the following year by a program that our own Treasury Minister is promoting, euthanasia, assisted dying. And he had an injection by his doctor because he didn't want to carry on. But these trees are a very special thing. And as I say, it's the power of a people within Defra who are throwing the weight behind this and upsetting that man who does not need that sort of treatment. But they want to get up off their backsides and get out, and get out of their vehicles instead of driving around and saying, oh, that looks all nice. Get out and walk around and see what things are happening.
Okay.
I can credit up there at the hospital. I don't know who does it, but the hospital area up there, including coming from the Vagabonds rugby field where you take that little path through, that is always a credit to the hospital.
Yeah.
But everywhere else, and the whole island, it's, they're calling it rewilding. It's another name for neglect, and that is what it is at the present moment. The island is being neglected.
Okay. All right, Howard. Thanks for calling today.
Take care. Bye now.
25-1. I have to say, those trees in the in Nobles Hospital car park are spectacular and very civilising. They really, really help the ambience of the hospital. I don't know about you, but if you're ever visiting somebody or having treatment there, just the trees being there, it's great. Eddie on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hiya, mate. You all right?
Very well, thanks.
Good, good. That's what I like to hear. I think people should realise that trees are one of the most important things on the planet. There are rules in place, particularly because the trees themselves absorb CO2, they create oxygen, the likes of Prince William, David Attenborough, you name it, they keep telling us don't cut trees down, they are the most important thing of all. Plant more, in fact. Which brings me to a little bit of hypocrisy. Irish Dane, they plan to cut down a whole plantation. This is double talk, isn't it? Isn't it a little bit of a hypocritical sort of thing? You've got a tree that's threatening to break a house up, a drive up, a man's health, and yet they say to him, you've got to keep that, but they're willing to cut thousands and thousands of them down up here for no reason whatsoever.
Well, they say, I mean, they imply it's for the greater good, Eddie.
How can it be if they're a protected thing? You surely, if they're going to put a wind farm up somewhere, it should be somewhere where there's no trees that have to be cut down. Point of air. Anywhere where there's no trees. Better still out at sea, or better still, none at all. But you don't cut trees down unless it's threatening a house or the health of somebody. But these trees up at Irish Dane are threatening nobody. In fact, they are beautiful.
How many are there in that place? How big is it? I can't think off the top of my head.
We've got people up here who will tell you exactly how many acres there are of it. But offhand, I would just say hundreds of thousands, honestly. It's a massive plantation. Defra will know exactly how many there is. They planted them. But it's a bit double standards, isn't it?
Well, you just wonder, don't you? What do you just wonder with the fact that Michael is not well? It's a 100-year-old mature, it's a monkey puzzle tree. It's not what you call indigenous. They're very attractive in their own way. But the fact is, you know, you can plant another tree. You can, you know, get that one down, fell it. And it's more, you know,
But Sean, Andy, surely health and safety should say this is threatening the house.
Well, you would think so. You would think that somebody would have something to say about it, and we wish Michael
exactly.
all the best,
so,
anyway.
Like Howard said, they should get off the backsides and get out of the vehicles, the 4x4s, and just say to the guy, look, you can have it cut down.
Okay, all right.
Simple as that.
Good
if it's threatening, down.
Thanks, Eddie. Cheers now.
Okay, Andy, bye.
Right, here we are, Man in Line, live on Manx Radio. Your chance to have your say. You can text, you can call, you can email, you can WhatsApp.
Regarding the DOI and the footpaths issue, with the DOI saying that they feel that they need to take on more staff, costing a lot more money, I think that all the DOI needs to do is get one person in their department to contact all of the walking groups, the walking businesses and related charities that would benefit from working outside, and create volunteer groups who could then go off and do the basics to maintain the footpaths, and charities like Men in Sheds could do repairs to the stiles, gates, fences, stairways, anything like that that needs doing. Mental health charities would benefit from being outdoors, and it wouldn't need lots and lots of extra staff. So I think just one person in their department to gather information, find out who would enjoy doing that, and then the footpaths would be open for people to walk. The walkers who have done the volunteering would enjoy that and be able to keep the footpaths open. And, you know, it would then lead to more tourists walking on the island and enjoying the island and seeing all the beautiful scenery that we've got. So just tell them to get somebody to coordinate everything, and they don't need hundreds of thousands spending on extra staff because it just isn't necessary. They need to start thinking outside of the box. Thank you.
That's a message from the answer phone. You can leave a message anytime you want, 24 hours a day, middle of the night, whenever it is, 682-604. Just leave your message on the answer phone for playing out on the air. This is, Lily was referring to this report, the working group on footpaths, bridleways and green lanes. The report is the evidence which says £1.53 million is needed every year. That's £30,000 a week required to tackle the issue. More workers, more money needed to restore the Isle of Man's footpaths to good order, according to this report. It says there are 210 outstanding complaints regarding conditions on the public rights of way network. Get that, public rights of way, your right of way. You have a right to use that way, public right of way, and 210 complaints about conditions. What do you think?
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
Whether starting a new business or building up your existing business, come and talk to the accounts and tax experts at Nicola Bowker & Co. With their holistic approach to business advice, Nicola Bowker & Co. will work with you to achieve success. For accounts that work, call 861-271.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
On August the 2nd and 3rd, Le Dans returns to the island. A 24-hour endurance cycling and fitness challenge in support of Talk, an initiative by the Dan Neen Charitable Fund. New for 2025, the 8-hour corporate challenge. Gather your workmates, go for glory, and show the island what your company is made of. Le Dans 2025. Enter individually or as a team now at talk.im. Supported by Manx Petroleum. Here for you.
Hi, Liz. I see you've had your garage converted.
We're desperate for more room.
Yes, come through and have a look. John called Manx Property Conversions. We now have an extra bedroom, but it could be another reception room, kids' playroom or office. They also did our conservatory roof last year. We were so impressed, we got them back to convert the garage.
Wow, I need that. What's their number again?
Call MPC on 450500. That's 450500. Or find them on Facebook at Manx Property Conversions.
The 2025 Ireland Games are now underway and Manx Radio is bringing you all the action from Orkney. Manx Radio's live Ireland Games blog is giving you all the updates as and when they happen, with medals, developments, interviews and more. So if you're following Team Isle of Man at this year's Ireland Games, make sure to head on over to our dedicated Ireland Games live blog at manxradio.com throughout this week. And don't forget, we'll also have all the latest interviews and important updates on the Manx Radio Sports Hub, also at manxradio.com. Your nation station, the home of the 2025 Ireland Games.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Thank you, Peter, on 014. The heritage trail between St John's is again now so overgrown that in places it's less than half the normal width. Together with large briars, the path is a risk to younger cyclists. Happens every year as the schools close and the usage increases. I just think it's total neglect. That's Peter. And Richard said, a bit unfair to say the DHSC were always begging for more money in their last years. Acute care, that's Nobles, was over by five or so. Primary care was underspent. Net result was that they broke even. Which is why combining both and creating Manx Care, the late chairman Andrew Foster said that they would break even. If you gave the old Nobles manager and her board £150 million back in 2019, they wouldn't have complained about it. However, the DHSC the year before Manx Care spent 220 odd million. With a £14 million contingency, Manx Care now spent plus their budget of 371.5. An overspend of £16 million takes them to £388 million for this year. That's way over 50% more than the old DHSC team ran Nobles and the Department of Health, GPs, dentists, everything, before we'd even heard of Sir Jonathan Michael. Inflation in those 4 years, including pay rises, was 20% over 4 years. So where's the 30% more? Where has the over 30% more than the old DHSC gone? It hasn't gone towards shorter waiting lists. There are now 13,000 on the list compared with 7,000 when they took over. So what is happening? All these figures are on the website, by the way. Thank you, Dick, for that. You also stood a chance of seeing a doctor or a dentist back then. Who knows what it is? Who knows what is happening? But certainly, of course, everything is down to your own personal perspective. It's subjective judgment. But are things better than they used to be where this is concerned? Where health and social care is concerned, whether or not it is that we just think we deserve more, and years ago we didn't know any better, but what is it? I mean, the one thing that is absolutely certain, well, two things are certain. One is it's going to cost more money, and two, you're going to pay for it. You will get the bill sent in a nice love letter from the government. You will get the bill. So we all have a deep interest in this matter. Robert's on now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing? I was just listening to Timwell Live, and they were talking about cutting back the hedgerows and things like that.
Yeah.
And I remember myself, I can tell you a quick story. I live on Peel Road, and there's some hedgerows and things like that which need cutting back. So I got onto eBay, and I bought a pair of shears. And I remember walking down the road with this big pair of shears because they were, you know, quite well made and well put together and stuff like that. They're a good pair of shears. But I remember thinking to myself, hang on a second, why am I feeling so ashamed for someone else not doing their work? Because I look like a bit of an Edward Scissorhands here.
How much work did you do? How many did you cut down?
Well, there was just one. thanks for asking. It's good to get a bit of work done. There was just one. If you know where Taste Buds is.
Yes.
You know, opposite there was one like barbarous kind of growth. Or whatever it was, a weed or whatever you want to call it, a thorn.
And you cut that down.
I cut it off. And I looked across the road, and they're all gawping at me like, what is he doing? I said, well, no one else is going to do it, so I might as well do it ourselves. We ourselves, you know.
Very good. Okay.
Which brings me on to the next point about what did you think about...
That's called guerrilla gardening, by the way, Robert. Did you know that?
What do you think about Mary Lee McDonald on Good Morning Britain?
I don't know. I didn't see it. I can't afford a television, Robert.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, anyway, she was on there and she put a good case across. It's on Good Morning Britain, Mary Lee McDonald. But anyway, just have a look at it. I think she asked some good questions and she put some good things across.
What was she talking about?
At the end of the day, so she was talking about the unification of Ireland.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay. Right.
So she was saying that the Troubles was just a failure of politics. And she went on and she said that Northern Ireland is effectively a basket case. You know, like economically, and it needs to be brought back under the fold. Now, I know it's going to rile a lot of people, it's going to roll a lot of people up, but just go and have a look at the YouTube Mary Lee McDonald.
Okay. All right, well, obviously, lots of people have lots of views about the future of Ireland, and thanks for calling today. The footpaths, how about asking for volunteers to work on them, says John on 527. I would happily and gladly volunteer to work on the footpaths. Yes, the MEA can go to somebody's land and remove many trees without notification. Thank you to 566. Who sent me some details and photos of some trees there. I don't know the specific case, but thanks for the point. Mark said, DEFA should be ashamed of what they're doing to Michael. Get the tree down. And a note, oh, this is regarding trees as well. Thank you for this. I'll read you this. I'm seeking your advice regarding an issue that has developed over time concerning a property next to ours. When we bought our home in 2007, one of its main selling points was an uninterrupted sea view from our ground floor windows. However, the shrubs and bushes on the neighbouring property have become significantly overgrown and now obstruct that once clear view. Now, our title deeds include the following clause. No trees, plants or shrubs shall be permitted or suffered to grow on any part of the scheduled property property, which will interfere with the view to be otherwise obtained from the ground floor windows of any adjoining property. I would appreciate your professional opinion on whether this covenant is enforceable under the current circumstances and what steps you might recommend. Thank you for your time and guidance. Well, thank you for that. It's 437. I can't pretend I can give you a professional opinion, but we have lots of people who listen to Man in Line who will have professional opinions on this. What do you think of it? Will a covenant, when they bought the house in 2007, that said no trees, plants or shrubs should be permitted or suffered to grow in any part of the scheduled property, which will interfere with the view to be otherwise obtained from the ground floor of any adjoining property, is that enforceable in law? And John said, to cut down the trees at Eerie Stain would help the wind farm go ahead, and in doing so, our carbon footprint a lot. It's the best way to move our island forward. As I mentioned, is that for the greater good? If you want proper examples of rewilding, says Mary in Ramsey, go to Poldhuie Nature Reserve in Ramsey. They planted gorgeous wildflowers in between the Moan footpaths, and they're glorious and attract all the insects and bees. An example to Douglas City Council of what you should do. I just want you to hear from Paul Castle. Paul is the from the Manx Footpaths Conservation Group, and he's talking about this footpaths. And again, 210 outstanding complaints about public rights of way. And this working party says that £30,000 a week will solve it. Paul Castle.
A lot of the footpaths are in poor condition.
How would you describe poor condition?
Well, they may be very overgrown with vegetation, including bracken and brambles. In other places, boardwalks, which are designed to make it easier to get across wet areas, are rotted or dangerous. Many stiles are broken. Some of the steps are crumbling. So there's a whole mixture of problems.
I mean, signposts are important because...
Yes, lack of signage can be a problem. That's particularly the case on the Millennium Way, for example, in the north. The footpath is not clearly defined, so you need to be able to see one way marker from the next, and in many places you can't. Some repairs have been done, and I think the problem is simply they've not got enough people to keep up with all the repairs that are needed.
I mean, they've got apparently two people in the north, two people in the south,
okay,
who, as we understand it, get called off when something needs doing elsewhere.
I believe some years ago there was a team of about six, so I've been led to believe, and I would think you probably need at least a team of six to maintain them. And they probably need a bit more than that to catch up with the poor state that many of the paths are currently in.
You don't go out with a machete, do you?
I don't know. Some of us do sometimes carry around secateurs or something like that to trim back the brambles. But we don't go out with anything much more serious than that.
It doesn't stop you going out on the paths.
No, but there are times where we would like to walk a particular route and we have to call it off because the path is too dangerous or too difficult. So we have to do a diversion or... have to find paths that are walkable.
The group looking into this basically say you need more money, more people.
Yes.
You'd agree with that, presumably.
Definitely. And no doubt about it.
Paul Castle from the Manx Footpaths Conservation Group. And remember, this is one of our pitches to tourists. Walking holidays. Walking on footpaths. Public rights of way. How do we solve this? Do we solve this just by throwing £30,000 a week at this? An extra £30,000 a week.
Tonight at 5:30 here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Cott, for Countryside.
I speak to Camilla Quintus from Patagonia when she was delivering a seminar, The Truth About Wool.
I visited one of the nine gardens on display around Bride Andrus and Sulby, part of the parish of the Northern Plain. And as we heard a couple of weeks ago on the programme, farming can be such a lonely place. And we found out more of how to combat the loneliness from Nicola Curfee and Paula Dunlop from the charitable organisation I'll Stand Up To Suicide.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 5:30. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
Man in Line is with you at the moment. I've got to say, if you went to Ballasalla Primary School, there's a chance today to revisit your youth from 3:30 till 7 o'clock. There's an open afternoon and evening in honour of the 70th anniversary of the current school building. Former students at Ballasalla Primary School can go back and look at photos from the past, reminisce with scholars, have a cup of tea, have a chat, talk about teachers. And it's open from 3:30 till 7, open evening at the school. Photographs and memorabilia on display. Nip along there. Have a cup of tea at Ballasalla School Hall. And also, thank you, Alice, who dropped a note in just to say, caught the fella yesterday. It was Adam on Man in Line saying, why don't we have a Norman Sale retrospective soon at the Max Museum or Peel at the House of Mananid? 2026 is the 100th anniversary of Norman Sale's birth. I didn't know that. It's 100 years. It will be an ideal time to have a retrospective. Wonder if Max National Heritage have got anything planned. I hope so, because I love Norman Sale's work. Thank you, Alice. I love Norman Sale's work as well. I find it strange the government will waste millions on wind farms, yet penny pinch on footpaths that bring in money from the tourists. Why is this? Well, you'd have to ask them. I was one of the first bank clerks on the Isle of Man to be trained to use the first cash dispensers on the Isle of Man. It was in Victoria Street. Now a closed branch. Even then, I moved to Ramsey to help their Bowring Road branch is now closed as well. Well, times change, don't they? But keep on using those Manx Pound notes and ask for Manx Pound notes when you go into bank branches. They love it. What about using working parties from Jerby to keep the paths clear? Well, I think this has been talked about in the past, and certain, I think some local authorities will use working parties, people on day release from the prison, to do this. Might be nice to hear an official word about that. Regarding the overgrown public rights of way, again, is there any reason why you can't get supervised prisoners to get it done? Surely that will cost less than the £30,000 a week they are quoting, or is that just too much logic? I live in Farm Hill, and the bushes around the car park behind the properties are never touched. I feel no shame about getting the strimmer out and improving the area around me because I live in it. I've got a vested interest. Guerrilla gardener for life. Thanks for that. Thanks to Chris on the phones today, and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. How's the weather?
WINT.